appreciate the response of the folks last night. I know there were some older ones that responded well. I saw the hands and the movement, amen, to the altar. But I tell you what, I don't know about you, but I was thrilled by the response of the youth, Brother David Eastman, in that service last night. Amen. I was thrilled by the young people that came to this altar. Amen. I don't know all their hearts. I don't know where they stood with the Lord. But I have to believe that the Spirit of the Lord was tugging at their heartstrings. Amen. And I tell you, hallelujah, I stood there, Brother Kyle, and behind them and prayed and said, Lord, I claim every one of their lives for the ministry. Amen. Amen. And by that, I don't care what God does with them. Listen to me. I'm not God, and I'm not going to dictate and say, well, you need to go be this, and you need to go be that. And, you know, I mean, wouldn't that be a foolish mess for me to do that? But Brother Fraser, whatever capacity, I don't care. Amen. There have been, if you don't know your church history, there have been some incredible, incredible teachers. Amen. Sunday school teachers. Amen. I can't even remember his name. I have to ask my wife, but there was a Sunday school teacher that won D.L. Moody to the Lord. Amen. What was his name? You remember? Kimball. I should remember. I pastor people named Kimball. I should remember that. Amen. Kimball. Amen. See, we don't even remember his name. We know D.L. Moody. Amen. Hallelujah. But we don't know Kimball. Amen. I'm sure probably many of you tonight recognize the name Billy Sunday. Anybody recognize the name Billy Sunday? You ever heard the story of his conversion? Amen. There was a preacher, amen, who was laying in his bed at night in the middle of the night. And God woke him up and said, go down to the train station and preach. And he said, God, it's like 2 o'clock in the morning. This don't make no sense. And so he rolled back over in his bed. Amen. And Brother Eastman went back to sleep. And God woke him up again and said, get down to the train station and preach. Amen. He said, God, there ain't nobody down at the train station. I think he did that 2 or 3 times, Brother Kyle. And then finally he rolled out of his bed, obeyed God, went down, amen, to the train station. Brother Fraser, nobody there, nobody around. He preached the gospel of Jesus Christ, and little did he know that a man named Billy Sunday was staying in a room and could hear every word. Man even gave an altar call. Amen. Praise God. I don't know the man's name. I don't know what he ever went on to do or be. I know he was a pastor. Amen. Oh, I say all that tonight to say, I don't care what God does with people exactly. Amen. Because, amen, he's the Lord of the harvest. Yeah. Let him dictate what they do. Amen. Hallelujah. Our job is to just do our best to push them forward and promote them. Amen. And to pray for them and to help them in any way. So I tell you what, you pastors, amen, if you had a young person up around this altar last night praying and felt like God was tugging at their heartstrings, can I ask you to take a special interest in them? Oh, I'm not saying neglect your other young people. But take a special interest in them and find out what was God talking to your heart. What was God speaking to your heart? Amen. And cultivate their lives. Amen. Cultivate their lives. Amen. To be useful to the kingdom of God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, I enjoyed our sister's testimony there about what how God is meeting their needs. And I'll just share this with you quickly. I mentioned to you last night there, my daughter and her husband, Jacob, and my grandkids are getting ready to head down to McAllen, Texas to go to language school. And then they're going to be doing missions work in Panama. And taking my grandkids too far away from me. But anyway, praise the Lord. If that's God's will, I'll let them go. Amen. But anyway, of course, they're kind of in need of a different vehicle. My son-in-law has a pickup truck, and they're kind of in need of something a little bit better to do some itinerating in and stuff like that. And the church they're pastoring right now has a 2018, 2019 Dodge Caravan, I think 70-couple thousand miles on it. And I kept talking to Jacob, said, what are you going to do? Because I know he was wanting to get a different vehicle. I was even going to try to look myself for something that I thought that maybe I could help him. He said, well, I'm gonna ask the church if they're interested in selling this van. And so he broached the subject with the trustees. Of course, I mean, they know he's leaving the church. Kind of an awkward thing, you know, to ask. And all the trustees got together and they said, you know what? We want to give you this van. Now, granted, the church had to vote on it today. But I would think, Brother Fraser, if all the trustees were given a thumbs up, probably the rest of them were going to, amen, come along. I tell you, God can work and move. amen, just to navigate things. Amen. Amen. I do not believe in the Calvinistic view of the sovereignty of God, that God just orchestrates everything in the world and everybody just does everything God wants him to. That's working real well, ain't it? But anyway, I do believe, Brother Frazier, that people that want to please the Lord, God will work behind the scenes in a providential way, and he will orchestrate things, amen, for folks that already want to be pleasing to God. Amen. I've seen it too many times, amen, to know that it's not the truth. And all that, you know, all that stuff. I told my church folks, they ripped the heart out of the gospel. Come on now. When you don't talk about the blood of Christ, when you don't talk about the resurrection, when you don't talk, you've ripped the heart out of the gospel of Jesus Christ. What's there left? What is there left? Amen. Hallelujah. Nothing but a void and emptiness. Amen. Praise the name of the Lord. Amen. Well, we want to, amen, go to the Word of God tonight. I appreciate you making an effort, to be out. Amen. Lord bless you. Book of Hebrews tonight. Book of Hebrews, chapter 9. Hebrews chapter 9. They told me when I came to church, a brother back here was looking for a good picture of me. I said, but there ain't such thing, I don't think. Amen. You talk about a needle in a haystack, buddy. Keep looking. I'll give you a picture of my grandson. You can put his picture up there. Amen. Maybe even better, my granddaughter. Now, there's cute. Amen. That might get some hits there if you try that. Amen. Amen. I heard a little story here recently about a pastor who went to heaven. I think he was from Olean, New York. But anyway, amen, he got to heaven. Amen, Brother Eastman, and there he was, and the line, Brother Kyle, was big and long, I mean, to get in the pearly gates. That big old line just stretched out on and on and on and on and on. And there stood that pastor, amen, and he just, you know, kind of getting fidgety way back there. The line wasn't moving, didn't seem nothing was happening. Amen, and he just got kind of grumbling a little bit about, you know, about having to wait in this line to get through the pearly gates. And, amen, so he struck up a conversation with the guy in front of him. He said, where are you from? The guy said, I'm from New York. And he said, oh, yeah, really? He said, what do you do? He said, I've been a taxi driver for 40 years. And the pastor looked at him and said, wow, I've been a pastor for 40 years. And they stood there and talked a little bit, Brother Kyle. And pretty soon here come Gabriel cruising back in a golf cart. Amen. Whipped up right beside them and stopped, Sister Frazier. Amen. All of a sudden the pastor said, hot dog. Amen. They came to get me. They do know who I am. And he started towards the golf cart. And Gabriel said, whoa, stop. I'm here to get him. And he pointed at the taxi driver. And the pastor looked at him and said, don't you know who I am? Oh, we know who you are, he said, but this is outcome-based. He said, for 40 years, you've been putting people asleep. For 40 years, he was making people pray with his driving. Amen. Well, I hope I don't put you to sleep tonight. Amen. Amen. I want you to respond to the Word of God. Amen. And amen. I just got a text from my daughter. Yes, they did give them the van. Praise the Lord. Man, I'm so glad for that. Amen. The way God. Amen. I had texted her there and asked her, did they give you the van? Amen. I was being a little presumptuous there. Hopefully that was faith in telling you what I told you. Hebrews chapter 9. Appreciate everything. I appreciate the hospitality. Amen. The food, the different things, the place to stay. Amen. Amen. And I'm not criticizing, but Lord have mercy. My wife and I are used to a king-size bed, Brother Frazier. And she thinks that whole bed belongs to her. So, amen. Amen. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Praise the Lord. Amen. We do appreciate brother the fellowship with Brother Eastman. He took us over to Kinzu today. And somewhere, and I'm going to have to ask my sister because she probably has it somewhere. Somewhere there was a little, amen, how many remember the old Polaroid cameras? Amen. There was an old Polaroid picture of me, Brother Frazier, when I was about 3 years old, standing in front of that Allegheny National Forest Kinzu Dam forest sign there. My dad used to take us camping when we were just little tight. hikes up there. So 50-some years ago was the last time, amen, that I was up there in Kinzu Dam in that area. But there's some little picture of me somewhere. Amen. I'm going to have to ask my sister about it. Amen. But we took us. I appreciate the fellowship. He gave me some of the info of the background of all that, and that was really interesting. I enjoy stuff like that. I like to a lot of times take stuff like that and interject it into preaching. Amen. That history stuff is good. Amen. You preachers, stick it in there in your sermons as illustrations and that. And of course, we talked about spiritual things. And then he took us hiking down through all those rocks down through there. And his legs are about 6 or 8 inches longer than mine, Brother Kyle. And so I'm trying to keep up with him. And he's going up over them rocks like there's no tomorrow. And man, my legs are shorter and I'm fat and all that good stuff. And I said, Brother David, I kept looking at the boys, and I said to them, boys, why don't you ask him if we could rest a minute, you know? They didn't. They just kept pushing Dad up along there. But anyway, Hebrews chapter 9. Aren't you glad we can laugh a little bit? Amen. I believe God has a sense of humor. If you don't believe it, go home, take a good long look in the mirror tonight, and you'll understand he has a sense of humor. Amen. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 14. Amen. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause, he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of a testator. For a testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the testator liveth. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. Amen. Father, would you help us tonight? As we look into your word, I'm so glad tonight that I am in a covenant relationship with the God of the universe. And Lord, I just pray that you would strengthen us tonight in this covenant relationship. Help us to remember who you are and who we are in you. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, hallelujah. Amen. The blood of Jesus Christ, of course, we've just came through talking and dealing with the Passion Week of Christ. Amen. Last week, of course, which, you know, climaxed there with his death and then on to his resurrection. And so those thoughts are kind of fresh on our mind and fresh in our hearts. Amen. But the blood of Jesus Christ can be looked at from various angles. Amen. And there are many aspects to what the blood of Christ has accomplished. Amen. In regards to mankind. Amen. The blood of Jesus is the core aspect of the gospel. And I mentioned this to you earlier there. It is the very core aspect, amen, of the gospel that we preach. Amen. For the Bible says, without the shedding of blood, there is no remission. Amen. And we add in the words of sin because we understand that that's what it's talking about. And of course, Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel. Amen. I'd like to, without damaging the scripture tonight, can I add something in there a little bit? Amen. I am not ashamed of, Brother Kyle, any aspect. Amen. When Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, he was talking about 100% of it. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, but somebody doesn't want to hear about the blood of Jesus Christ. They don't want a bloody gospel that's barbaric. Right? I'm not ashamed of the gospel. I'm not ashamed that the Son of God hung on a cruel cross 2,000 years ago, and precious blood, amen, dripped and spattered on the ground, amen, hallelujah, for you and for me tonight, praise God. I'm not ashamed of the gospel, amen, praise the name of the Lord, amen. I want to briefly here mention to you, amen, some of the themes, amen, that are there with the blood of Jesus Christ. Of course, this is a vast subject. You could literally take weeks, I think, amen, looking into every faucet and every aspect, amen, of the blood of Jesus Christ. But let me touch on a few a little bit till I get down here, amen, to what I want to talk to you about. Amen. Of course, the blood of Jesus Christ was shed for man's redemption. For man's redemption, the scripture is clear. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 18. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. In other words, he's looking back into the Old Testament when God set down laws and standards of redemption. Amen. They were to redeem animals. Amen. They were to redeem their children. Of course, with a lot of the animals, amen, that animal was to be slain, amen, and its blood was to be shed as a sacrifice to God. There were other animals like the donkey or the ass, amen, that they weren't allowed to sacrifice, Brother Frazier. They had to redeem it with something else. When it came down to human sacrifice, God said, no, amen, I want your firstborn, amen, but I don't want him as a sacrifice on an altar. You will redeem him with X amount of money. Amen. And so Peter says here to us as believers, you were not redeemed, amen, with silver and gold, amen, like they were in the Old Testament. No, but he goes on there in verse 19, and he says that your redemption is with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Hallelujah tonight. I'm glad that the blood of Jesus Christ redeems. I'm glad that it purchases or buys back at a set price, amen, what man lost in the fall, amen, God has taken ownership of again through his blood. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that verse of scripture that says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Amen. Years ago, and I probably somewhere along the line, you've heard me tell this little story, but years ago, I was listening to a video of a missionary somewhere in Africa. I think it might have been the Sudan, if I remember correctly. Amen. And a bunch of Muslims from the north had come down, Brother Frazier, and they had taken a bunch of the children, amen, captive out of Christian area and Christian homes. Amen. That junk's still going on today. Amen. It is. Amen. And back into the north, they took them. Amen. And those Christian parents came to this missionary because they knew that he had some finances at his disposal. And they said, would you go buy back our children for us? And he said, I did not want to encourage the slave trade in the slightest. But Brother Kyle, he said, those parents kept pushing and pressing on me. Amen. And he said, my heart was broken. I was full of compassion and pity. Amen. At their children that was stolen out of their homes. Amen. And he said, finally, he broke down and went up and began to bargain with their captors. Amen. And they finally settled on a price. And Brother Frazier, he said, as he was walking back through the bush, amen, bringing those children back to their parents, the verse kept going through his mind, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah, friend. You and I have been redeemed, amen, out of something much horrible, amen, than a little bit of slavery or captivity in this life. Amen. We've been redeemed from destruction. Amen. We've been redeemed from eternal death. Hallelujah. All the redeemed tonight ought to say, hallelujah, I'm redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory. Christ is mine. Hallelujah. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Hallelujah. Amen. Child of God, on that aspect of being redeemed, don't you ever forget who you are. Yeah. Amen. I belong to him. If you're blood washed tonight, You belong to him. He has redeemed you. But not only that, the blood of Jesus Christ has reconciled us unto God. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 20, the Bible says, "And having made peace through the blood of the cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself." Hallelujah. All sin separated man from a relationship with a holy God. The relationship and the fellowship was destroyed by what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. Amen. But friend, the blood of Jesus Christ has restored peace, hallelujah, between God and man, hallelujah, hallelujah. There is now perfect communion, perfect peace, perfect fellowship that is possible, amen, for believers, hallelujah. I've been reconciled, hallelujah. A relationship that was broken, Brother Eastman, hallelujah, through the blood of Jesus Christ is fixed. Let me hurry on tonight. Amen. The blood and the death of Jesus Christ was the propitiation for our sins. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 2, John says these words, "And he," speaking of Jesus, "is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." Amen. You see tonight, friend, we fail to understand that sin is a judicial thing. Amen. How many are you pleased with all these judges and DAs that are not punishing these criminals and letting them right back out on the streets? Anybody pleased with that junk tonight? But I'm going to tell you, that's not justice. Amen. That is not justice. For a judge to turn their face the other way. And that's what we're getting out of these Soros-appointed DAs and judges. Amen. We are getting judges who don't care about justice. Amen. Let me move on from that. Sin is a judicial thing. It is a violation of the highest law in the universe. And friend, a just and a holy God cannot look the other way. Amen. Sin must be punished. For the wages of sin is death. There it is, friend. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. Hallelujah. Amen. And friend, I'm going to just kind of illustrate today. Amen. The way I kind of picture this in my mind, Brother Frazier, is that a holy God who has every right in divine justice, amen, drew his hand back, poised to strike man because of his sin in justice. Amen. Yeah. But Jesus Christ, Brother Kyle, stepped in between man. Oh, listen to me tonight. He stepped in between man and the drawn back arm of a just and a holy God. And what he did on the cross, and as his blood was shed, Brother Frazier, he absorbed the full blow. Yeah. Amen. Oh, you're listening to me. He absorbed the full blow of the justice of a holy God that should have hit man. But the Son of God absorbed it. Hallelujah. Praise God. And what he did there on the cross satisfied the justice of God. You see, that's what the word propitiation means. Amen. Don't just stumble over that word and read by it. When you read John's writing there, stop and understand that when John says he was the propitiation for our sins, but not for our sins only. And I say to the Calvinists here on this one, you don't, what are you talking about, Brother Hawk? Oh, they believe that divine election thing. There's this elite group that's predestined to go to heaven, and then there's this group that's predestined to go to hell. What a bunch of hogwash. Oh, you quiet on me here tonight. You know what, anybody been around pigs? You know what hogwash is? What a bunch of hogwash. John says, somebody says, "Bro Hawk, you're being brazy. You're going to offend somebody." Amen, friend. When there's doctrinal error, I'm going to speak against it. Amen. John says he is the propitiation for our sins, but not ours only. How did you get more clear than that, Brother Dave Eastman? But he was the propitiation for the sins of the whole world. How do you pull some select group out of that when the Bible says it was for the sins of the whole world? And so when you read that word propitiation, understand that the shed blood of Jesus Christ and his sufferings on the cross, Brother Cal, satisfied God's divine justice. Amen. And what a difference there is between what happened in the Old Testament. You see, in the Old Testament, their sins were atoned for. The word atone means to cover over and cover over and cover over. And that's all that happened in the Old Testament. Every bullock, every goat, every lamb, amen, Brother Eastman, that was slain, it just covered over. It covered over. It covered over. Amen. Hebrews says that it's impossible for the blood of bulls and goats, amen, to take away sin. Amen. In the Old Testament, listen to me, in the Old Testament, that covering that was constantly happened satisfied God. Amen. It did. Amen. He was, for a moment in time, Brother Eastman, he was satisfied. But I love the New Testament. Amen. Where John sees Jesus. Amen. There at the shores of the Jordan River. And he points that old bony prophetic finger. And he says, "Behold the Lamb of God that taketh away." Yeah. Do you see it? Hallelujah. It's not cover over like it was in the Old Testament. Amen. It wasn't atoned. Cover over like it was in the Old Testament. It is propitiation. Hallelujah. He satisfied, amen, the justice of a holy God completely. Hallelujah. God was appeased in the Old Testament. Amen. But in the New Testament, he is completely satisfied. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. He is the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. I live under a better covenant. Because you see, what they had in the Old Testament could never cleanse the conscience, Brother Kyle. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that every time they sacrificed, Brother Eastman, they were reminded of their sin over and over again. Hallelujah. But you listen to me here tonight, child of God. If you are a blood-washed child of God and the devil tries to drag up your sin of the past and throw it in your face, amen, you look at him and you say, "Devil, I am forgiven. Amen. My conscience is clear. You have no right, amen, to torment me with anything about my past." Hallelujah. It was covered, amen, and washed by the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you say amen? But let me rush on here tonight. Amen. Yes. Amen. His blood has redeemed us. His blood has reconciled us. His blood has been the propitiation or the satisfaction, amen, of God's justice. But I want to get on here tonight and talk to you for a little while about another aspect of the blood. Amen. I want to deal with another aspect, amen, that I felt like God brought to my light and my attention here a few years back. Amen. And you don't hear much about this. Amen. But I want to deal with this other aspect here. Amen. I believe tonight that probably most of us know here tonight that God is a covenant-making and covenant-keeping God. You better be glad. Come on now. The fact that this big old ball stays in the universe exactly where it is, and the sun stays where it is, come on now, is the fact that there is a covenant-making and keeping God. The fact that gravity holds us on this planet and we just don't go drifting off into space is testimony to a covenant-making and a keeping God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. I could go on and on there, but I won't. Amen. And so he is a covenant-making and a covenant-keeping God. Time and time again throughout the Scripture, he makes covenant with mankind. Amen. I'm so glad for it tonight. Amen. What is a covenant, somebody says? well. Brother, I want to explain to you just briefly here tonight. A covenant is an agreement, amen, basically between two parties or two individuals, amen, with promises and conditions. Say promises and conditions. Say it with me tonight. Promises and conditions, amen, that both sides or both parties are intended to keep. Amen. Any married couples in here tonight? Some of you don't want to admit it. Amen. Married couples in here tonight? When you stood at that altar all those years ago and you said, I do, you entered into a covenant. Amen. For better or for worse. You didn't know how much worse, did you? Amen. Amen. I'm joking. Amen. Come on now. Amen. And I'm not being mean. Some of you might have loved ones that were stricken down with some disease, and you've had to be with them, amen, by their bedside and different things, and you thought, my God, I know I ended up in this relationship, but I didn't know how much worse it could get. I don't mean that meanly tonight. You understand what I mean tonight? Amen. For better or for worse, you entered into a covenant relationship. Amen. Oh, let me rush on here tonight. Amen. There was an old covenant. Amen. An old covenant. We call it the Old Testament. Now, right here, I'm going to begin to use the word testament and covenant interchangeably because they can be. Amen. Understand that tonight. The word testament and covenant are interchangeable, amen, in their meaning. Amen. God is always the one who institutes, instigates, whatever word you'd like to use there. He is the one who always starts covenants between himself and man. Amen.
Yeah.
Always. Amen. And he is the one that has the right to set down the conditions of those covenants. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is the one that has the rights. Amen. And so where there was that old covenant, that Old Testament, now we live under the new covenant. I know that's very elementary, but I'm going somewhere here tonight. If you'll just go along with me for a little bit. Amen. Look what the writer says in Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 6. He says, he, speaking of Jesus, is the mediator of a better covenant.
Yeah.
A better covenant, which was established upon better promises. Now, I know I'm going to lose some of you right here. I know some of you are going to fall out with me about what to say right now. Not for 1 second would I trade places, Brother Kyle, with any Old Testament character. Oh, I know some of you lost it right there. Brother Eastman, not for 1 second would I trade places with Abraham, Moses, Daniel. Come on now.
Yeah, yeah.
If you don't realize, oh, I'm not belittling those men, that some of them put us to shame, and they didn't have what we have. Come on now. Hallelujah. But listen to me, friend. Any saved individuals in here? There wasn't a single one of them, Brother Eastman, that knew what it was to be washed with the blood of Jesus Christ and redeemed. Not a one of them. Amen. As a matter of fact, the New Testament tells us that there were prophets that prophesied about the coming of Messiah, and they wanted to know and participate, but they died in faith, not receiving the promises. Hallelujah. Amen. Oh, praise God. Do I have any spirit-filled individuals in here tonight? Come on now. Hey, man, I'm not ashamed to be a Pentecostal. I had a woman tell me the other day, you Pentecostals scare me. I said, why? Why do we scare you? Hey, man. Bad thing was she was raised in the Assembly of God as a child. Hey, man. Hallelujah. I'm not ashamed of being Pentecostal. Yeah. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Not a single one of them knew the baptism of the Holy Ghost like we know.
That's right.
Not a one. Not a single one. I wouldn't trade places with a single one of them. Amen. Under the old covenant tonight. Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. You see, friend, this new covenant is vastly superior to the old. His blood, the blood of Jesus Christ that we've been talking about and singing. And I appreciate our young sister singing about the blood of Jesus tonight. Hallelujah. His blood. Listen to me tonight. This is the aspect, amen, of His blood that you don't hear much about, but I want to talk to you about tonight. His blood ratified the new covenant. Yeah. Hallelujah. Somebody says, what's the word ratify mean? The word ratify means to give a formal consent to a treaty or a contract or an agreement, making it officially valid. My Bible says that Jesus Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world. Amen. Amen. Brother Frazier, things were working and God was gearing up, amen, to His greatest plan to redeem mankind. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But friend, it wasn't until the Son of God, amen, hung there on the cross 2,000 years ago and great drops of blood splattered the ground, amen, there at the foot of the cross. Right there, the covenant that God had been working towards was ratified by the blood of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. God always dedicates, ratifies, initiates His covenants with blood. I know somebody's saying, but Brother Hawk, what's it matter? What's it matter? Let me take you back here to Exodus chapter 24. Oh, I want to show you. I want to show you. I told you, God is a covenant making and covenant keeping God. Amen. And He ratifies His covenants, amen, through blood. Exodus chapter 24. Reading verses 6 through 8. Look at what the writer says there. And Moses took half of the blood and put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. Pay attention to what he's doing here. And he took the book of the covenant. Amen. Everybody say covenant. Yeah. Covenant. And he took the book. We've got a book of covenant too.
Yeah.
Hallelujah. Woo! We've got a book of covenant. Hallelujah. And he took the book of the covenant and read it in the audience of the people. And they said, all that the Lord has said, we will do and be obedient. See, there's the two sides. There's the two sides, Brother Kyle. God's side, our side. Amen. And Moses took the blood. Notice what he does here. He took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people and said, behold the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Amen. Moses takes that blood and he began sprinkling it on the people. And later on you can read, amen, that he sprinkled it on the tabernacle and those things to dedicate. What was going on there, friend? God was ratifying. God was bringing into existence a covenant that He had made into with His people. Amen. That old covenant was put into effect by blood that was shed and sprinkled on the people. Amen. God's part and their part became official and binding the moment that Moses said, and they said, we will do it. We will obey. Yes, we are in full agreement, God, with what you said. And he took the basin, Brother Kyle, and he dips and he sprinkles the people. Amen. Hallelujah. A covenant came into existence. Yeah. Amen. Between God and mankind. Oh, but friend, I'm talking to you about something superior tonight than that old covenant. Amen. Christ's blood. Hallelujah. Praise God. Christ's blood was shed and sprinkled. Hallelujah. And when it was, it ushered in and it ratified the New Testament covenant. Hallelujah. It is a superior covenant with superior promises. Amen. Isaiah Isaiah chapter 52, amen, and verse 14 says this, talking about Jesus, and his visage or his appearance was so marred more than any man, and his form more than the sons of men. But notice verse 15. So, woo! So shall he sprinkle many nations. Hallelujah. There he hung on the cross, Brother Frazier. Amen. In a body that was beaten so bad that Isaiah says it was hardly recognizable as a human form anymore. But the blood that drained out of that body didn't just fall into the dirt at the foot of Calvary. Hallelujah, that blood sprinkled. Not just Israel. Hallelujah. Not just, amen, the surrounding areas where they carried the gospel. Amen. As far as I know, they didn't even know America existed, Brother Kyle. But all this time later, that blood. Brother Eastman, the Dominican Republic, Cuba, Haiti, come on now, Communist China, woo, Saudi Arabia, that blood of the covenant has sprinkled, hallelujah. Oh, all Moses could do, amen, and I'll be honest with you, there probably is a million people standing around there. How far you think his fingers could fling blood, Brother Frazier? 10, 15 feet? He's lucky. The rest of them had to say, yeah, I guess if he got that far, it's good enough for us too. Oh, but the blood of Jesus Christ. Brother Eric, around the world for 2,000 years, covenant blood has been sprinkled. Hallelujah. Ushering in a new covenant built on exceedingly great, precious promises. Hallelujah. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 2, Peter says there, speaking of the redeemed, he says, unto obedience and the sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Yeah. Sprinkled. Sprinkled blood. Anybody had blood sprinkled on them? Yeah. Thank you, Kyle. You're the only one. Come on now. Anybody had blood sprinkled on them? Oh, I'm not talking about deer blood tonight. I've had enough of that in my life. Amen. Some of you, amen. You were a nurse. I'm sure you probably had a lot of people's blood on you you'd rather forget about, right? Yeah, Lord have mercy. Bless your heart, brother. Amen. Anybody had the blood of Jesus Christ sprinkled? You aren't saved if you haven't. You aren't redeemed tonight. Come on now. If you haven't had the blood sprinkled. Woo! Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm glad, amen, that I've had the blood of a sinless lamb, a spotless lamb, sprinkled on me tonight. Hallelujah. And so this blood of Jesus Christ, this sprinkled blood, ushered in a new covenant. Here's what I want to get to, friend and I. It ushered in a new covenant. Amen. Listen to me tonight. It is a full covenant. It is an abounding covenant. Amen. It abounds. Amen. With promises. Amen. Let me take you over to 2 Peter. Oh, I'm trying to encourage you tonight, friend. Hallelujah. You know, come on now. I'm going to tell you something. Oh, Lord have mercy here. Going to get myself in trouble. How many ever downloaded something on your computer? Or you been at the doctor's and they bring that paperwork to you, Sister Frazier. And you look down at all them pages, or you're getting ready to download something on your computer, and you look at all that mumbo jumbo. And if you're like me, you wouldn't understand 75% of it anyway. Oh, come on now. He that is without sin, let him cast the first stone. And you scroll down through that computer, amen, and you get down to that line, Brother Kyle, that says, I have read and agreed all this. You didn't read it. And like I said, you probably wouldn't understand half you did. Or you're sitting there at the doctor's and you ask the nurse, what's all this mean? Well, that just means blah, blah, blah. And she could have just had you sign your house and car over to you. Amen. You say, oh, yeah, thank you, dear. That's what it means. And you say, anybody ever done that? Thank you, the three of you, the rest of you dishonest people. We'll give you time to repent after church. Come on now. You get down. You're like, all I want to do is download a game on my computer. That's all I want to do. I don't want to read the Constitution of the United States. Scroll down through. Yeah, I've read it. My wife won't do that. She makes me do it. Amen. I guess she's trying to be honest. I don't know. But anyway, come on now. You have no idea what you signed. Come on now. You have no idea what was in there. And listen to me here today. I'm afraid sometimes too many of the people of God have no idea, Brother Frazier, what's in the covenant. They don't have their nose in the book the way they should. Hallelujah. And if they got their nose in the book, all they're trying to do is get their three chapters in for the day. Come on. I may have said this at camp meeting a couple years ago, but I'm going to say it again right here and right now. If all you read is the book of Psalms and the book of Proverbs, you're an anemic Christian. Oh, I saw some of your hateful looks.
Bless God, Brother Hawk. I got my little daily bread that sits on my table, and I read it while I'm eating my breakfast.
You're an anemic Christian at best. But I read my Psalms and my Proverbs. If you are not reading the New Testament, if you are not reading the New Covenant, you telling me I'm not saved, Brother Hawk? No, I'm telling you, you're an anemic Christian.
Yes.
If you're not reading the New Covenant and seeing what's on the pages of the covenant that our Lord ratified with his shed blood. I want you to get it tonight. Hallelujah. Because you see, I've seen too many believers robbed blind by the enemy. Robbed blind, dear friend. Listen to me. Amen. I'll tell you, Satan is a master of deception. He might let you get saved and sit on a pew as long as he can rob you of your covenant blessings. As long as he can rob you of the things that God has promised you in the covenant, he might let you just sit there.
Yeah, that's right.
Because he knows someday you'll be vulnerable. If you don't know the covenant. Well, I know I lost some of you. Well, I could see some of your looks on that Proverbs and Psalms thing, but I ain't ashamed of it. If that's all you're reading, you need to start reading a lot more. Amen. Thank you, Brother Frazier. You're about the only one that's getting behind me on that. Thank you for it. Amen. And so here we are. Amen. With this new covenant. Second Peter. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, a couple of my favorite verses of Scripture. I know I'm getting long here tonight. I'm making up for, amen, last night or whatever. I'll try to be a little shorter tomorrow. Amen. 2 Peter chapter 3, or chapter 1, verses 3 and 4. Look at these verses, friend. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercies. Oh, 1 Peter, I'm sorry. 1 Peter, first and second, you know. Amen. I let me share something with you. I like that guy in the book of Hebrews who said a certain one said in a certain place. Anyway, 1 Peter chapter 1. I'll take you where you need to be. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Now, I'm the one that has the joke on me because it was 2 Peter I was supposed to read. Amen. Forgive me for being flawed, okay? Do I have any people in here who are not flawed? I'm flawed sometimes, okay? All right. You were at the right place, Brother Frazier. Yeah, I wasn't. Let me read these verses to you. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power, how many think God's all powerful? How many think he's limited by anything? How many think he's limited by your unbelief? Only in relationship to you. Come on now. It doesn't change who he is. Your unbelief will limit him in what he can do for you. But according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Well, how many things? Help me here tonight. His divine power has given what? All things that pertain to life. 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 What's life? Physical existence, Brother Kyle. His power is able to give you anything that it takes to live your lifespan on this earth. Come on now. Yeah. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Covenant. Peter said, and with his stripes, you're healed. Covenant. Covenant. If God be for us, who can be against us? Covenant. Do I need to go on? Amen. He's able to give unto us all things that pertain unto life, Brother David, here and now. What do you need? Well, Brother Hawk, I've got this incredible financial need. And I've been paying my tithe. Thank you, sis. I heard a mm-hmm out of you. Thank you. I've been paying my tithe. I've been giving in the missions offering. Thank you, Brother David. I knew you'd get on board with that one. I don't eat out 25 times a week. I try to manage my money properly. Thank you, Brother Frazier. I knew you'd jump on board there. Amen. I'm not going into a whole bunch of debt, amen, because I'm just this greedy individual that's got the green-eyed monster that controls me. Come on now. Yeah. God, I'm trying to do what's right. Jesus said, ask and you shall receive. Covenant. Covenant. But Peter not only said that pertains to this life, he said pertains to godliness. That's the spiritual side of it. Don't tell me you can't live for the Lord.
That's right.
Don't tell me you can't live a victorious Christian life. Yeah. Don't tell me you can't make heaven your home. Yeah. Don't tell me it's too hard. Yeah. Amen. Hallelujah. Come on now. Amen. Peter says, amen, that he has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. Friend, that's the covenant that was ratified with his blood.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Let me rush on here tonight. I don't want to labor you too long. Amen. But look what he says there in that passage. He says, according as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge. And listen, you got to know. You need to know. Come on now.
Yeah.
The devil can rob you blind by what you don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. You need to get before the Lord with the book open and you need to say, Holy Ghost, teach me. Hallelujah. You need to be in Sunday school and Bible study midweek. Amen. Let the teacher, amen, teach you from the Word of God. Why? So you can know the covenant.
Yeah.
Amen. Oh, but look at this next verse, verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises. Oh, friend, I tell you, we live a substandard. Let's admit it. We live a substandard below these exceeding great and precious promises that God has given unto us. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hallelujah. Amen. Let me take you over to Ephesians chapter 3. I'm going to try not to be much longer here tonight. I know it's Saturday night here, and I guess I apologize, but in another way, I'm trying to share with you what God laid on my heart as I was praying for this service. Ephesians chapter 3 verses 17 through 20. Ephesians chapter 3, verses 17 through 20. Amen. Paul says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye being rooted and grounded in love. Look what he says here. May be able to comprehend, to know, to understand. Amen. With all saints, what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. What is this, friend? This is covenant. This is covenant. And I like his wording here. Amen. He tells these people here that you may be able to comprehend with all the saints. Amen. What is the breadth? What's breadth? Wide. Amen. Brother Frazier, I don't like cities. I stay away from cities. Man, we were in Dallas area, not down in Dallas, but close enough for me there in December. And I was ready. Forgive me, whoever's listening out there, no offense. I was ready. I was singing to my wife, "Country roads take me home to the place that I belong." I was ready to get out of there. 12 lanes of highway. People drive like idiots. Amen. Overpasses that were 3 tiers high. I said, I want out of this nut house. Amen. Come on now. I was ready to go. John Andrews, if you're listening out there, "Country roads take me home." Amen. I was ready to go back. Amen. And I stood outside of some big buildings, some big hospitals, Brother Eastman. Amen. And there I stood. Amen. Maybe outside of Hershey Medical Center. Pretty big building over there at Hershey, if you've ever been over there. And Brother Frazier, I've stood outside, and as an intimidated little fella, I looked at the breadth of that place. Man, I looked at how wide that big old building was, Brother Eastman. Amen. But Paul doesn't stop there. Amen. He says the length. Amen. The distance from the front to the back. Amen. Stand there and just gawk at that thing and say, "My, look how far that thing goes back. This thing is intimidating." Come on now. Amen. But then he goes on and he says the height. Amen. You not only stand there and look, Brother Kyle, how wide it is. Amen. How far it goes back. But you look how tall it is and you say, "Wow." Amen. Praise God. But if you really want to know what that building is, you know what you're going to do? You're going to open them doors, Brother Frazier. You're going to walk into the front door, and if you're like me, you ain't going to get very far in. You're going to get lost. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. Man, I can navigate in the country. Give me a tree, a pond, a barn, a mountain, and I can navigate. Sister Frazier, put me inside a hospital, and I'm done. I remember looking for a room one time, Brother Kyle, and I was looking and looking and looking and looking and looking and looking. And finally, I shoved aside my manly pride, and I walked up to a nurse. I said, "Where's room so-and-so?" She said, "Oh, you're in the wrong wing. You need to go." I was like, good heavens. Depth. That's his other word there. Do you see it? I don't think he's talking about what's underground. I think he's talking about when you plunge into the midst of it all, Brother Eastman. Amen. You know what? If we're not careful, we can stand back and look at the mighty covenants. They are exceedingly great. That's what he said. And we can stand back and we can look and we can say, man, this thing's high. Man, this thing's wide. Man, this thing's deep. Amen. My God's incredible. But you're never really going to know the fullness of the covenant promises of God until you get up and you swing them front doors wide open and you plunge right into the depth of it all and you say, "Lord, I've observed all this from the outside, but now I'm going to dive into the covenant promises of God. Lord, I want to know that you're my provider. Lord, I want to know that you're my healer. Lord, I want to know that you're my peace. Lord, I want to know that you're my baptizer in the Holy Ghost. Lord, I want to know that you're my sanctifier." Hallelujah. Like the Ephesian church. Amen. At least 4 times you will read in the Ephesian church, the Bible says that they were sitting in heavenly places with Christ. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to be in a covenant relationship with you. Lord, take me further. Amen. Your blood ratified this covenant. Lord, your blood got this thing going. Hallelujah. Now I want to know. I want to be part of it. Amen, friend. Listen to me here tonight. Amen. We have got to know the covenant. Amen. Yeah. You need to know. Amen. Don't let the enemy rob you because of what you don't know. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody says, Brother Hawk, I've been saved 50 years. Don't you tell me how to live the Christian life. I'll tell you, friend, you've only scratched the iceberg. Yeah. Amen. There's so much more to this thing with God. Hallelujah. So much more to the covenant. Amen, friend. We need to know. Amen. But then we need to go to the next step. We need to believe. Amen. It's not just good enough to know. Amen. Sometimes I feel like that man that was down there at the foot of the Mount of Transfiguration. He said, Lord, I believe, but help thine my unbelief. Amen. He was an honest individual, Brother Kyle, who said, Lord, I believe, but God, there is an element of unbelief in me. Amen. Sometimes I'm that way with the covenant. Come on now. Amen. Sometimes I can stand and testify about how God healed this one or God provided for this one. Amen. But all of a sudden when it's dropped into my lap and I'm the one that needs healing and I'm the one that needs financial provision and I'm the one that needs victory over the enemy, I feel like the man and I say, Lord, I believe. I've seen you do it for others and I know what you can do. But Lord, I'm just not quite sure you're going to do it for me. Oh, but friend, listen to me. His blood ratified the covenant. His blood, hallelujah, brought the covenant, amen, into existence. So we've got to know, we've got to believe, and then we've got to next take that most bold and daring step and apply those covenant promises to our life. Unwaveringly, hallelujah. One unwaveringly. Read Hebrews chapter 11. Faith was always followed by action. Come on now. Hallelujah. Abraham believed God. And he left Ur. Amen, Brother Kyle. And went looking for a land that was promised unto him. And the wonderful thing about Abraham, he looked further than just Canaan's land. The Bible says he looked for a city which hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By faith, Abel offered a more perfect sacrifice. Amen. By faith, Noah, when he was warned of God, amen, built an ark to the saving of his household. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. By faith, amen. Moses said, I'm not going to enjoy the pleasures of Egypt, but I'm going to suffer, amen, with the children of Israel. And on we can go. Faith, friend, always has action as its result. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, I want to encourage you tonight. Friend, if you are a blood-washed, blood sprinkled child of God, you have entered into a covenant. Hallelujah. A covenant not created by you. How miserable would that be if I created it? But a covenant created by Him. A covenant established by Him. A covenant ratified by Him. And a covenant kept by Him. Hallelujah. Anybody interested in living in the fullness of the covenant tonight? Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, take me in. Take me in. Hallelujah, Lord. Where we are men and women of faith, where we are men and women of action, and when the enemy rears his ugly head, hallelujah, we know who we are in Christ. Come on now. Amen. When infirmity rears its ugly head in the body, amen, we say, infirmity, you forget who I am in Christ. Amen. When need strikes and we don't know how the need is going to be met and we're doing our best, hallelujah, we say, need, I'm in covenant relationship with a God. Hallelujah. It's going to meet my needs. Are you interested tonight? Yeah. It's where God wants us to live, friend. The enemy doesn't want you living there because the enemy knows if you live in the fullness of the covenant, you'll be a threat to his kingdom. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. But if you'll live in the fullness of the covenant tonight, my, what God can do through you. I wonder if we'd stand to our feet tonight. Hallelujah. I wonder if we could lift our hands to heaven and say, Lord, I want to live in the fullness of the covenant that your blood ratified all those years ago. Hallelujah. Lord, I want to live in the fullness of that covenant, Lord. Hallelujah. God, if there's any area of my life, if there's any area of my life that I'm not living in the fullness of the covenant that your blood ratified, God, would you show me? Hallelujah. Show me from your word. Show me by your spirit, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want to live in the fullness of the covenant tonight. Hallelujah. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's find a place to pray tonight. Let's find a place to talk to the Lord for a little while tonight. Hallelujah. Maybe you're needing something specific from the Lord tonight. I've not asked anybody their personal needs tonight. It's really not my business. But I know in a group this size, there's got to be people here with physical needs. There's got to be people here with spiritual needs. There's got to be people here tonight with relationship needs. Financial needs, whatever. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You're in covenant relationship with God tonight. Hallelujah. The blood of Jesus Christ. The blood of Jesus Christ ratified the covenant. Praise the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Jesus said, if you ask anything of the Father in my name, hallelujah, he's a covenant-keeping God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding and abundantly above what we could ask or think. He is a covenant-keeping God tonight. I don't know what you need. Hallelujah. But the Bible says, let us boldly come unto the throne of grace. Hallelujah, hallelujah. You can come boldly tonight because of the blood of Jesus Christ. Let's ask of the Lord tonight. Hallelujah. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, Lord. Hallelujah, Jesus. My God, I pray.